Waiting for change to come. These are the times that we're living in. And it seemed like the church is almost asleep. Stuff happened in the church and let it happen and don't make a voice about it. Amen. We ought to stand up for God. Amen. Infanticide is what Egypt did when Israel was having children. They said, if the child's a male, kill it. But if it's a female, you can let it live. God did not like that, and God does not like what's happening now. Can we say praise the Lord? So we're living in dangerous times where you choose to realize it or not. These are the Bible called perilous times. Amen. Men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of themselves. More than love. Well, how can you tell when somebody loves themselves when they don't do what God tells them to do? If you don't obey God, that means you have another voice that you're listening to. Amen. And Jesus said, if you love me, Jesus said, how do you know Jesus is right? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John said, my commandments are not grievous. If you love me. So how many of us love the Lord today? Give God a wave off. If you love God, keep his commandments. Not some of them, but keep all of them. Amen. Because there is going to come a day when we have to give an account for everything done in our lives. And you're not going to be able to tell God, I did not know, because God gives us the opportunity to learn. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. So the subject, I'm going to give you our message topic early before we read it. Our message is, the Lord has not forgotten you. That's our message this morning. The Lord has not forgotten you. Amen. I wonder how many of us feel as though I'm in this world and in life and in a situation of all by myself. I can tell you this, the Lord has not forgotten you. You may feel like you lost everything, but as long as you got a mind to come to church and praise God, you have not lost it all. Can we say hallelujah? So the Lord has not forgotten you. Yeah, maybe you've lost loved ones. You won't have the house. You're not in the place that you want to be. But rest assured, God has not forgotten you. And we're bringing out more today, Lord willing, and more on Wednesday. So if you want to know how much the Lord has not forgotten you, and you want to get a closer relationship with God, stop using excuses that, oh, I'm just so busy on Wednesday, I don't have time for church. Listen, God told Israel, can I just wander off for a minute? In the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, when Israel had arrived, you might feel like you arrived, I got a house, I got a car, I got clothes, I got stuff I never had before. You arrived. And y'all gonna see me now. But when you arrived, he said, you know, back in the old time, in the old days, everybody went to church because they had not yet arrived. Right? Back then, they used to have to walk the dirt roads. I used to live down south. Well, I'm going to walk the dirt roads to get to church. But the people prayed because they did not have substance. They did not have possessions. So they prayed to God. But how many know as they got substance and possessions, that their prayer life changed? Their reverence for God changed. Why? Because I've arrived. When God told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, how many of y'all stand up? Y'all been sitting, you need to get the blood flowing. You know, you used to sit there and let everything fall asleep. But God told the children of Israel in the 8th chapter, he said, when you live in houses that you did not build, when you drink from wells that you did not dig, when you eat from vineyards or drink from vineyards that you did not plant, he said, beware lest you forget the Lord. And then he drops down a little further. He said, wait a minute. I know you arrived. Everybody arrived. You got clothes you never had. Amen. You can go in the closet and pick out what shoes you want to wear today. They the one pair that we used to have. Years ago, you didn't have to make a choice. You just went in and grabbed the one suit, the one dress, the one pair of shoes, whatever it is. You didn't have to make choices. But today, we've arrived. So we can make choices. Amen. So he said, wait a minute, now that you have arrived, I'm not going to ask you if you feel like you arrived. But you know you arrived is if you have the opportunity to come to church at dawn, you feel like you don't need the Lord anymore. You arrived. But he said, beware. He said, because if you get to the point where you forget the Lord, he said, remember this. The reason that you have what you have is because I've given you the power to get it. You don't have it because of you, because God said, anytime I wanted to, I could take the breath of life away from you. God said, anytime I wanted to, I could take you from up on your high house, high horse, down to the lowest level. He said, so you But everything you have, he can come out of them and use the power to get it. So should we tell the Lord thank you? Come on, should we tell the Lord thank you? You don't have it because of nothing you've done, but you have it because of how good God has been. The one in the psalmist said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his blessings? Those benefits are blessings. What am I going to tell God for all of those blessings he's given to me? I will take the cup of, Lord, I got to be saved. Hallelujah. Salvation is not an option. Salvation is not a second thought. I'll take the cup of salvation and I will call on the name of the Lord. So don't leave God out. Then as you arrive, you know, we got cars that stop themselves. Drive a car in and tell you if you're crossing the line. You got a car in and tell you too close. Cars do everything. You got a smartphone. You talk to it and they talk to you. My wife got a phone that's been, it should have been off. But we were talking the other day and they started talking. And it didn't even, she don't even use it. Smartphone. So you got all of this stuff happening. So we were right. But we still need God. Yeah. Because at any time, God can take the breath of life away from you. Amen. Well, now let's go to Isaiah, the 49th chapter. We're going to read verses 13 through 16 together. Amen. Amen. He says, sing, O heaven, and be saved. Sing, O heaven, and be gloomy. Sing, O heaven, and be depressed. Sing, O heaven, and be oppressed. Sing and be what? Joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless your name. Yes. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say,
rejoice.
No matter what your circumstances, can we just rejoice in the Lord? Can we just sing a thank you, Jesus? Come on, can you give God a thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. He says, oh, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has
saved.
I hope nobody don't feel like today God has forsaken you. You know, sometimes we get that mind game thing. We say, God, as long as much as I've done for you, what have you done for me? Don't get like that. Don't act like God has forsaken you. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And he said, the Lord not only has forsaken me, but God has. God has not forgotten you. Amen.
Amen.
So can a woman forget her
suckling
child that she should not have a passion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yeah. Lord said, I don't care what a woman will do. I won't forget you. Behold, I have. Lord, I bless your name. Some might forget you. Others might not remember you. He's the Lord. He knows I have what? Graven you. I have graven you. This graven means he has inscribed you. He's taken something and chilled you in his hand. So not the devil in hell, don't care, can pluck you out of his hand. The enemy can't pluck you out of his hand. He says, listen, I've engraved you in my hand. If you want a picture of it, it's like God has tattooed your name in this land. How many know when that tattoo is there, they are permanent? He said, I've engraved you in my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and your goodness. Lord, we thank you that in spite of it all, Lord, you've been good. Lord, we thank you that you've been a way maker. We thank you you've been a keeper. Lord, we thank you in the mighty master's name of Jesus that you have been made ways for us out of no way. Now, Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to send a word today to bless your people. Lord, send a word today to someone that came in, Lord, looking for answers. Give them the answer to your word. Lord, someone that came in needing to make a decision. Give them the mind to make a decision, the right decision through your word. The Lord, our hearts desire to speak, Lord, for thy servant here. For this we thank you, can the church say in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen, and you may be seated. us. I can tell you this, God has not forgotten. He has not forgotten you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. People may turn their backs on you and people may let you down. But rest assured, God is in the background. And God has not forgotten you. Well, the verse says, verse 15, you know, you said, well, this is a question that you can ask today. You know, I don't know whether it's intentional or unintentional, but you got parents that go to work in the heat and leave their babies in the car and they die.
Jesus.
You have parents, it's not me to judge. They go to work and leave their babies in the cold and they freeze to death. How can a parent, I don't have the answers, and I don't know why, I don't know how, but how can a parent know you put your child in the car in these extreme conditions and take your baby and go somewhere and forget that your baby is in the car? Well, God, this is the equation that God is making. He said, God said, but rest assured I'll never forget you. God said, you'll never be in a place where I won't remember you. You'll never be in a place where I won't remember you. He said, so can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the... Well, if we're living in a time today where people let the baby be born and then kill it, can a mother have compassion on her child? So God said, well, maybe they're doing it. He said, but I won't forget you. And you know, the blessing is, even if they kill a child because it has no sin, God said, I'll receive them into my kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. But it's just, can we say it's just wrong? You don't need government to tell you the murder is murder. Amen. Murder is wrong. It don't make a difference. I don't care who the governor is. Amen. Now, let somebody take the governor out, and everybody go crazy. How do you have something that's so innocent that they don't have no power? You kill it. Amen. Because a parent decide that they don't want it. Well, if a parent don't want a child, then guess what? There are things you do not to have a child.
Amen.
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 You don't want it. So the old saying, if you pay the price or whatever, you pay the cost, you know what it is.
Do the crime, pay the time.
Yeah, you got it. Y'all know I got to ride, but I don't get them all together. Y'all just help me out. Can y'all help me out?
Yes.
All right. So if you don't want it, then don't make the mistake to have it. But if you got it, then be responsible enough to take care of it.
Amen.
So God said, listen, parents, who would ever think when we get a time in America, in this world, where parents would decide after a child has gone through 4 9 months of gestation and birth, decide the child will live.
Yes.
God said, where's your compassion? Man, how do you have a mindset? I don't care if it's Obama, Obama, or anybody else's boss. Right? How do you make that kind of decision for a birth of a child that's alive? So listen, I don't tell you who to vote for, but if anybody is a candidate and they're in favor of that, you do God a disservice. I don't care if they're black, yellow, orange, or whatever color. Well, we got to make black history. No, you got to make God history.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what color they are. I don't care about making history. We ought to be on God's side. Can we say amen?
Amen.
But this ain't a political speech, so let me keep going. God has a purpose for all of our lives.
Yes.
God has a purpose for every last one of our lives. Now, our problem is because that purpose does not manifest itself when we think it should, we get discouraged. But what do you commonly know that God has time and that God's timing is perfect? God, listen, God's timing is perfect. God is never early and God is never late. God is can we say always on time? The problem ain't God, the problem is us.
Amen.
We say, God, I want it.
Now.
Sister Marie want that food now. That's why they got that microwave. I was saying something about a microwave. I was using microwaves until recently, right? But I read that if you microwave water and put it on your plant will die.
Really?
Yes, I read that. microwave wallet and your Panada? That's no charge. I don't mess with the microwave. Every once in a while, she sneaks in on me. Every once in a while. But make it the exception and not the rule. Everything that's nutritional in your food. Microwave still. You have to wonder about spiritual. Yeah, it's spiritual. You have to wonder about, you have to wonder about a microwave anyway. Right? I understand because if you're a heart pacemaker, you go in the room, they can't even turn the microwave on. So that means that microwave is affecting more than that food that's in the microwave. Alright, this is spiritual. I'm just trying to help you out a little bit. Don't kill all your food with the microwave. Amen. We must exercise faith to be obedient to God to the end. We must exercise what?
Faith
to be obedient to God to the end. You may not be able to see the end, but your faith says, well, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Let's go to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. Now, we're talking about God and God not forgetting us. How do you feel as though God has forgotten you? And I'm going to ask you to say it. I'm going to say it, ask yourself. How many feel as though God has forsaken them? Lord, I feel like I'm going through this all by myself. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. So God has not forsaken you, but we have forsaken God. How have we forsaken God? Because our minds are not in tune. Our minds are not following scripture. So Isaiah 55, 7 reads, let the anytime your way comes before God, that is wicked. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So let the wicked forsake his
way,
and the unrighteous man is
false.
So the way you live and the way you think affects how you treat or respect God. The way you live and how you think affects how you treat God.
Amen.
So if you're not living right, you won't treat God right. If you're not, I wait for the amen. I'm gonna speak to you on that. If you're not thinking right, you won't treat God right. He said, but let him return. So the way you've been living, the way you've been thinking, has taken you away from God. So God said, now I'm trying to change the way you've been living. I'm trying to change the way you've been thinking. He said, let him return unto the Lord, and he will what?
Have mercy upon
him. He will have mercy upon them, and to our God, and he will. Oh, Lord, I thank you. That even in my mess ups, I can come back to you. If I change the way I'm living, if I change the way I'm thinking, well, what is your way of living and thinking through? He's taking you away from God. And then you try to figure out, why am I all alone? Change the way you're thinking. Change the way you're living. Well, the 8th verse says, God said, listen, the reason I need you to change the way you're thinking is because your thoughts. Yeah, you thought because you got a title behind your name and you've arrived that you got my mind. God said, you don't have my mind. Because your thoughts are not my thoughts. And your
ways.
The way you've been living is not the way I want you to live. God said, I'm trying to get you to come back to me. The reason you feel lost as a savior is you're going too far away from me. You have too many times when the church door is open and you at the mall or somewhere having a fun time. God said, change the way you've been living. Well, I can go to church today because what is it, 3 times 7, 21. Y'all get all the other sins, right? I'm 21 and I'm grown enough to do what I want to do. But I heard Jesus say, I do always the thing that please my Father. And because I please my Father, I know God hears me. The reason God don't hear, I'm praying because we don't please him. Why? We're walking in our own ways. We're doing our own things. God said, now you want to know the disparity between my thinking and your thinking, and my ways and your ways? He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He says, now I'm going to give you a lesson in nature to teach you about God. He said, the rain comes from heaven and the snow, and it waters the earth, and it giveth bread to the eater, and provides seed for the sower. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Just like if you don't have rain, you get a drought. God said, I'm going to give you something to relate to me. Because you know if you don't get rain, you get a drought. If you don't snow, what happens? The snow flows, the water from the snow in the mountain flows down into the valley. He said, so if you don't have nature, you don't have seed for the sower, and you don't have bread for the eater. He said, so shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Amen. He said, my word will not return unto me. Oh. How many know when God speaks a word, if you let it pop out of all the place in your heart, you won't sin against God. He said, but my word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which it pleases. So while I don't like it, but God's word won't return void, if you hear it, God holds you accountable for it. Amen. So it's going to accomplish what he pleases, and it's going to prosper to the thing where he sends it. So God said, this is my word. Well, why do you feel as though you're on my island? Why do you feel forsaken? Because you've forsaken the living bread. You're forsaking the word of God. Let us go, I'm going to teach for a minute here. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. We're going to read verses 4 through 6, and then 31 through 32. So why does so many in this world feel forsaken? Because they're giving God what they want to give. He said, listen, God, you better be glad I'm coming to church. God said, you better be glad I'm giving you life. Amen. Amen. Yeah, God said, I can help you not come to church. I can help you not go anywhere. I can save your life.
Jesus.
So we owe God a thank you.
Yes.
We owe God to come to church. We owe God to pray. We owe God to worship. Why? Because the death angel is standing there every day, brothers and sisters, trying to take you out. The death angel is trying to kill you. But I'm so glad the Son said, I feel a peace in knowing I had a Savior that stood between. He shielded me from all danger. Hallelujah. God promised never to leave me, never to leave you alone. So you may forsake me. God said, I won't forsake you. Lord, God, thank you. God, I bless you. Lord, when others have given up on you, I'm so glad to know that I can sit back and have a little talk with Jesus. The old song said, telephone the glory, oh, what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line, built by God the Father for his love and all. You can talk to Jesus on the royal telephone. And then I heard a part of that song said, heaven is never the end. Hallelujah. You can talk to Jesus anytime. You don't have to worry about calling and being put on call waiting. You don't have to be on call 40. God said, every time you call, I'll hear you. If you're obedient to me. So God won't hear those that are disobedient. So Israel got to the point where they were doing what they wanted to do. And then they accused God of forsaking them. God said, I didn't forsake you, but you forsake me. Now Jeremiah 2:4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all families of the house of Israel. Thus saith
the Lord.
The Lord. Can we read this next one together? It should be on the screen. He said, what
iniquity
have your fathers found in me, that they are gone? Stop. When you go away from God, that iniquity, you found fault with God,
yes.
Your creator, your maker, the one that gives you life and give you breath. For the scripture says, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Everything we have is because of him, and you are going away from him. What fault did you find in God, the reason you don't come to church like you ought to come to church? What fault have you found in God, the reason you won't give God a thank you and a praise the Lord? When the scripture says that everything that has breath, praise him. So what fault have you found? You don't know what I'm going through. Shake that stuff off. Shake it off. Give God a praise. Give God a testimony. Like, God, I don't have a job I want. If you praise God, God's going to give you what you need. Because if you delight yourself in me, I will give you. That delight means to align yourself with God's word. Then he will give you his desire. So a lot of people say, just delight yourself in the Lord. No, you can't delight yourself by going contrary to God. Then he will give you what you want. Can we say praise the Lord? So my delight has to be in his word, doing it his way, doing it through his will. Then when I delight in the Lord, you know what I say, Lord, not my will. Thy will be done. So God, what do you want to tell God? Now you can give me what I will. Because my will there is in alignment with your will. Now listen, you can't live like a hellion sinner and ask God to give you the best of life. Is that me?
Preach.
Can we say it doesn't work like that?
Some
of y'all said, I ain't going to say that. It's still, when you see it, it still don't work like that. You got to see it doesn't work like that. You can't live wrong, live unholy, and then come before a holy God and think God's going to bless you. Well, how do we know? Adam and Eve messed up one time. God said, no paradise for you. You messed up. God said, I had a blessing with your name on it. Now, you know, I always got some kids. You know, you get catch this stuff from your kids, they mess up, you say, it's on reserve until you get right. So your Heavenly Father, so your blessing is on reserve until you get right. Then when you do the right thing, you can have whatever you had before. When you do it. So verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, what iniquity have your family that they come? People don't come to church like the other folks go far. How do you get far from God when he's been so good to you? And then walk after vanities as lies. It's not truthfulness. It's what the devil promotes. How do you walk in the devil's world and want a blessing from God? How do you walk in the devil's world and want a blessing from God? He said it may become vain. Neither said they, where
is the Lord that brought us up out of Egypt?
You know you're bad. When you allow your situation to oppress you to the point that you don't even ask for God's help. Lord, I need your help. I'll never get so to the point where I don't need God's help. I always need God's help. Where is the Lord that brought us out of
Egypt?
Egypt represents the world. That means you were a sin in the world, and God brought you out of the world, and you're now saved. But you've gone so far from God, you forgot that you're supposed to be saved. You don't even ask where's the Lord that brought me out of the world. So you see, because I went through water, cold, chilled my body, and not my soul. But you forgot about that. You forgot when God washed your sins away. You forgot when you kind of came up speaking in tongues and walking in a way that you never experienced before. I've heard people when they get baptized in Jesus' name, filled the Holy Ghost, and they came up, they feel wide open. They felt like God was blessing them. But then they began to shirk God. Listen, God doesn't bless you to leave him out. God bless you for you to thank him. God will give you something for you to say, well, I got so busy doing this that I left God out. God does not work like that. So God has not forsaken you, but you have forsaken God. Now let's drop down into the 31st verse of this second chapter. What I like about God is God said, well, you don't understand what I'm giving you spiritually, I give you something natural for you to make the equation. Because we want, how many want to be sure? He said, O generation, verse 31, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel it has not been darkness. Wherefore say my people, we are
Lord's.
That's your trouble. Because the Bible also calls itself little gods, little G-O-Ds. You know what? The Lord says, I'm the boss of this body. I'll do what I want to do. So you made yourself Lord. Well, how are you Lord? Because you decided everything contrary to God's word. So you have made yourself Lord. He said, we will come
no more unto thee.
God said, what did I do? The reason that you have elevated yourself above me. What have I done? The reason you have enthroned self and dethroned God. He said, how did you make yourself a Lord? How do you tell me? Well, this is what the word of God said. When God said, I said the opposite. Then he says in verse 32, if you don't understand, he said, can a maid forget her
ornaments?
This is a version of the type of clothing with her jewelry. Said, can she forget what distinguishes her? Or a bride her? When I promise, listen, you can always tell when they're holy, when a bride is going to get married, because they have on a bride's attire. So you can say, wow, you go by somebody and say, oh, they just got married, because they wear the right
attire.
God said, what's wrong with my people? They don't have the attire to represent who I am.
Yes.
Because your attire don't represent who I am, he said, you have forgotten me. Amen?
Oh.
All right. Amen. Rest of y'all say amen. That's right. He said, yet my people have forgotten me. Lord, thank you. Every day I wake up, I say, Lord, thank you. We have to tell the Lord, thank you before we retire at night.
Yes.
How do you go days without number?
Mm-hmm.
How do you forget God that long? And then you think God has forgotten you. The Lord said, I have not forgotten you. But you've gone too far away from me. When you go so far away from God, even when God calls you, you cannot hear him. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So now part of the problem, I'm almost finished. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Part of the problem, the reason we feel so God has forsaken us is because our thinking is out of order with God. We allow our distress, our hardships, to cause us to find fault with God. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So I want to go to Psalms, the 90th division of Psalms. Right, the 90th division of Psalms. And we have to remember that God never forgets us. God always remembers us. But the problem, I'm going to show you the problem why we get so discouraged and frustrated with God. God is the God of eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Time means nothing to God, because time to God is as yesterday, because God always has been, God always will be, and God always is. So our problem is, we begin to think of our trials with our mind instead of the mind of God. So we say, God, you promised me this. God said, yes, but you got to remember, my thinking is not like your thinking. I told you I'm going to do it, but I didn't say I'm going to do it yesterday. Because one day with the Lord is as a
thousand years.
God said, time means nothing to me. So our frustration comes because we try to put God in a time capsule and tell God, you should have done this already. God said, wait a minute, you can't lord over me because I am your Lord. You can't put me in a time capsule and tell me, you because time means nothing to me because I'm a God of eternity. So we take our finite mind to try to understand God. Verse 2 of Psalms 90 reads, before the mountains were brought forth, and ever that hath formed, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even
everlasting,
it's hard to comprehend that.
Yes.
It's hard to understand how could God be from everlasting to everlasting. You know what's in the middle of everlasting to everlasting? Time. So we get messed up because we're trying to see what God is trying to tell us in a finite mind and time. But God said, you got to remember, I am from everlasting to everlasting. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as yesterday when it is past, and as a, he says, as a watch in the night. Amen. Yesterday. Now, I want to go to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Y'all, give me your scriptures. Now, I don't want you to say, but this is what he said. This is what the Bible says.
Amen.
So the reason a lot of us feel as though God has forgotten us is because God didn't do it when I said it. You know, like when you pray, you cry, you fast for 50 days and all. You say, God, you should have done this already. You didn't keep your word. God said, wait a minute. One day with me is as 1,000 years. So from the time of Jesus to today is about 2,000 years. Us. How many of y'all 2,000 years old? I see that. Well, God said, this is like just the 2nd day for me.
Amen.
So the reason that you all messed up is because you're not seeing time. You're seeing, not seeing my word and my purpose in its proper perspective. Because I said I'm going to do it today. A day could be 1,000 years for you, but we know God won't do it in 1,000 years. But our thinking is out of whack when it comes to God. We're trying to put God in a time capsule and tell God when he should have done it and how she should have done it. So 2 Peter 3:8 reads, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that what?
1 day
is the Lord. And 1,000 years is?
1 day.
The Lord is not. If he made you a promise, he's going to fulfill that promise.
Yes.
God is not slack concerning his promise, but the promise is as
some
may count
slackness.
Your thinking is not God's thinking.
Yes.
So you put God in a time capsule because you're thinking like man and trying to put it on God. God said, wait a minute, I don't think like you think. Amen. My thinking is different than your thinking. So in order for me to bless you, you got to come over on this side. You got to get off of your side and come over on my side, amen?
Amen.
But he is long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should come to repentance. So I'm here for you. I have not, but I need you to change or reorient your thinking. As long as you're thinking like you're thinking, he said, your thinking is taking you away from me. But if you change the way you think, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and the God will abundantly pardon and will have abundant mercy. So God said, change how you've been thinking, and I can deliver you. And if you don't change, can we go with Joseph? Can I have a few minutes to go with Joseph? Joseph is a unique individual. Joseph was only 10 years old. Right? Joseph, that means he's younger than most of us today in here. Of all those over 17 on the other side. So everybody here is older than 17 years old. But Joseph learned to trust God. Joseph learned to trust God and learned to be obedient to God. So I'm going to go through this quickly. Genesis 37, verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being
17.
So how old was he?
17.
All right, so keep that in mind. Now let's go down to verse 5. All right, verse 5 of the same chapter. It says, and Joseph
dreamed
a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they
hated him.
Yeah. All right, now let's skip down a little further. Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And they hated him or envied him the more. So he had, at 17 years old, he has these dreams of vision. Now, if a lot of us were Joseph, if it didn't happen, if we had to go through what Joseph had to go through, we would have just been away from God. But Joseph remained faithful. So he has a dream. And his brothers, first they're going to kill him, but God, through his divine intervention, persuades him to sell him into slavery. So they sell him into slavery, and he goes into Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, the scripture tells us in the 39th chapter of Genesis 20, the Lord was with Joseph, and everything Joseph did, God made it to prosper. Now, most of us would have been messed up right there because we've been sold into slavery. farmland. We don't have no contact with our family. Back then, they didn't have wiretaps. They didn't have a cell phone. You didn't have no way to get in touch with your family. So most of us, because I haven't been able to get into my family, I haven't been in touch with my family, I'm depressed. I'm oppressed. Joseph said, I can't get in touch with my family, but I got the Lord with me.
Yes.
And because the Lord is with me, God made him to prosper. So he's being blessed, and then Potiphar's wife lies on him, and he goes to prison. So he goes from being a slave to being in prison. He's a prisoner for doing the right thing. But the scripture said, even in prison, the Lord was with him. And because God was with him, he gave him favor. Amen. So then while he's in prison, he interprets the dream of the butler and the baker. Because they have a dream. He interprets their dream. So he interprets the dream and the baker's hanged, but the butler is restored. And he tells the butler, he said, butler, when you get back to Pharaoh, please remember me. Let Pharaoh know that I've been stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. I've been sold into slavery. And he said, I haven't done anything to be of guilty to be in this prison. He says, remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. He's 17. He's gone through all of this. So then while he's in prison, the 41st verse says, then after 2 years of what? Of him interpreting the butler's dream. Pharaoh dreams a dream. And then in the dream, nobody can answer it. So they said, then the butler remembered, he had forgotten. Sometimes people will forget you, but God allowed the right circumstances to come for them to remember. So then he remembered, oh, there was a Hebrew back in prison. So Pharaoh said, go send for. Now listen, this is when God lets you know God's put emphasis. Because all the way up to that, all he talks about is servants, butlers, they don't have a name. But when it comes to Joseph, he said, go send for Joseph. God him. He said, go send for Joseph. And he calls him before Joseph. And then the scripture said, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. But God did not forget him. God did not forget the dream that his brothers were going to do obeisance and his mother and father to him. So the scripture lets us know in the 42nd chapter that when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, they fall down and they do. Why? Because God had given Joseph a dream, but God did not forget him. Our problem is because it didn't happen the first year, the second year, or the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year, the sixth year, the seventh year, took him 13 years of hardships.
Yes.
But at the end, God did not forget him.
Yes.
In the end, God spoke. Because Joseph was faithful.
Yes.
Joseph couldn't understand, Lord, I don't understand the way you take me, but I trust you.
Yes.
Many of us today may not understand the direction, the road that God has taken on, but I trust you.
Yes.
And because I trust you, Lord, I know God will not forsake me.
Yes.
Because I trust you, Lord, I know you haven't forgotten me.
Yes.
Maybe it didn't happen in my time. Maybe it didn't happen when I thought it should, but how many know that God Because God kept his promise.
Yes.
God had not forgotten him. God said, it didn't happen when you thought Joseph, but right now, I'm going to bless you.
Yes.
Nowhere in the canons of scripture do you find where Joseph complained or murmured, because he trusted God and it was his life, as we all stand. When you trust God, you don't complain. When you trust God, as the elders and the ministers come forward, you don't murmur. The psalmist said this. He said, where will the Lord be of good courage? And he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say on. I wonder today, who are you waiting on? Amen. It said, even the youth shall faint, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall. I need strength. You need to wait on God. You, I need God to make a way. You need to wait on the Lord. Shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because they
wait on God.
If you wait on God, God has not forgotten you. God will bless you. Don't put God in a time capsule and say you should have done it already. God said, I'll work according to my own pleasures. I'll work according to my own good will. Let God fix it for you. The minute we surrender, you know our will is a strong will. Listen, our will is a strong will. Our will fights God. Our will goes against God. The moment we surrender our whole will to God, God turns our situation around. The moment we turn our thinking around, God turns our situation around. Because any man thinking in his heart. Now, I'm just going to ask you, you just ask what you've been thinking. Right? That's what you are. So if you change how you've been thinking, if you change how you've been living, if you change the way you've been conducting yourself, God said, I will turn your situation around. It won't be like you think, but it'll be according to my will, because I'm God. God has not forgotten you. But the problem is, there's too much distance between many of us and God. Draw close to God. He said, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. The psalmist said, it's good for us to draw close to God. Today, I encourage you, draw close to God. We're living in a dangerous time. You can watch people right down the street getting shot. Amen. They're just so much happening. I'd rather be in providential care. You know what providential care is? God's care. That shows God is in charge. God has not forgotten you. No matter how long you've been waiting, keep waiting. You know what happens a lot of times? We get frustrated and we take things into our own hands. When we start trying to fix our own situation, guess what it gets? Guess what it gets? What does W-O-R-S-E spell?
Worse.
If you want your situation to change, give it to God. Let me get it.